Luke chapter 12. I'd like to begin reading with verse number 49, and we'll read down to verse 53. Luke chapter 12, verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with. How am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. When Jesus Christ came to the earth, the disciples, particularly the apostles, really didn't understand what his coming was all about. The disciples thought that the Lord should establish His kingdom without pain, that He should establish His kingdom without suffering. They insisted that that was the way it had to be. They were so focused and so intent on it being that way, they didn't grasp much of what the Lord taught them, really, until after His death. They just could not see Christ bringing about His kingdom through pain and suffering. We even read in the scriptures of Peter rebuking the Lord for such talk. They just were intent in making Christ's kingdom, Christ's coming, this thing called Christianity, a pleasant, easy thing. But the Lord is teaching them here, and He's teaching us something much different. You know, in 1996, the majority of so-called Christians are still preaching an easy road Christianity. But that's not the Christianity of the Bible. If we were going to title our message this evening, our message would be entitled, The Divisive Christ. The Divisive Christ. He's a Christ that would be foreign to many Christians and churches today. But He's the Christ of the Bible. I want to notice, first of all, that suffering, rejection, and division are a part and were a part of Christ's mission. Many times we think of these negatives as side effects, but in fact, they were a part of the purpose of Christ's coming. He did not come to bring peace. He came to divide. He did not come to bring an easy thing. He came to bring a hard and a difficult thing. He didn't come to bring comfort. He came to bring suffering. And we've got to be focused on this, and we need to understand that being a Christian is not an easy road. Being a Christian can be a difficult thing and will be a difficult thing. If we don't comprehend that, we're going to have the wind knocked out of our sails when the going gets rough. I want you to notice here in this particular text, verse number 51. The Lord says, "Suppose ye that I come to give peace on earth?" That's what they supposed. That's what they're still supposing today. "Suppose ye I came to bring peace He says there in verse 51, I tell you nay, I tell you no, I tell you not so, but rather division. He's the Christ of division. The road that Christ had to travel during His life was a difficult one. And the road that each one of us as Christians will have to travel will be difficult at times. What our Master went through will not be much different than the road we have to travel. Look over to the book of Luke in chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And even here at the announcement of Christ's birth, we see that this suffering, this rejection, this divisiveness was prophesied and spoken about. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 34. It says, And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Even at the announcement of Christ's coming, Simeon says he's going to be spoken against. He's going to be unpopular. He's going to cause division. His road in life is going to be a difficult one. It wasn't a side effect. It was a part of His purpose in coming. He didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring division. Look over the book of Romans, the 9th chapter. Romans 9, verse 32. Romans 9, verse 32, Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. You know who they're talking about? Jesus Christ. It goes on to tell us that, And whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. He came with the purpose of causing division. It was a part of His mission. It was something that God knew would happen. God knew the Jews would reject Him. God knew that they would stumble at Him. Christ knew when He came He wouldn't win a popularity contest. Christ knew when He came He had a difficult road to travel. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 23. The Apostle Paul says here, But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. Even after His death, He wasn't winning a popularity contest. He didn't come to bring peace. If we have it in our heads that Jesus Christ came to bring peace, we must mark Him off as a failure. If we have it in our heads that Jesus Christ came to make this world a better place, an easy place to live, we must mark Him off as a failure because it has not happened. That's not why He came. He came to do the Father's will, and the Father's will was that He would save His people. But in the saving of His people, He would cause division. Nowhere in the Bible do we find Christ came to improve this world. All through the Scriptures we're told that it will be progressively worse and worse year after year until the rapture of you and I out of this mess.
It's not going to get any better. It's going to get progressively worse until Jesus Christ comes and takes us out of here. No promise of improvement, but prophecy concerning progressive worsening of conditions. After we're raptured out of here, it's not going to improve any either, because then we're going to have the tribulation period. And God's wrath is going to fall upon this earth. It's not going to get pretty. It's not going to get better. It's not going to improve. God is going to pour out His wrath upon this world. Jesus Christ came right now, and you were here lost. What you would be left to endure isn't a pretty thing. Lost friend, consider your soul's condition tonight. Towards the end of the tribulation period, we have the battle of Armageddon. Nothing about that battle is going to be pretty. When the blood runs to the bridles of horses. Then we have the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And even then, He's going to rule with an iron fist. And even after that millennial reign, the devil's going to get the world to rebel against Christ one final time. So there is no ray of hope here. There is no looking for improvement. Christ did not come to improve things until we see eternity being ushered in. Then things get better. But we're not there yet. And we must comprehend and we must bring to our minds that suffering, rejection, and division were a part of Christ's mission. And as followers of Christ, it'll be a part of our life also. I would put before us this evening that following Christ could and most likely will cost you dearly. It'll cost you something to follow Jesus Christ. There are no free rides. And the name it and claim it, health and wealth preachers aren't reading the book. Jesus said, I took up my cross, and all those that want to come after me, they're going to have to take up their cross and follow me. It's not an easy road we're traveling. And we must be mentally prepared for these things so that we can see these things and trust the Lord when they happen. Look back to our text there in Luke 12. Notice here in verse 52 and 53. Christ talks about the cost of following Him. It says there in verse 52, for from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. It's going to cost. Now, we don't have it too much in our society, but in the times of Christ, these people were what we'd call clanny. They had the clan mentality. You didn't get any identity from your individuality. Your identity came from your family. It was all about family. And many times you'd have generations, several generations, all living under one roof. Your position in society, your identity, your economic position was all hinged on who your family was. And so Christ comes to these folks and He says, let me tell you something. I've not come to bring peace. I've come to bring division. And being a follower of me is going to be expensive. He says, I'm going to cause family trouble. That was a big deal to these folks. To be separated from their family, separated from their heritage, would mean loss of identity, income. It's devastating to them. Christ says, I've come to bring this division. Look to the 14th chapter of Luke.
chapter 14, verse number 25, says, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them." Verse 25 sets this thing up for us. There were a lot of people hitching on to the bandwagon. A lot of people hitching up to this phenomenon called Jesus Christ. Multitudes swarmed around him. And most of them came to see what was going to happen next. Most of them came to be entertained. Most of them came for fleshly, physical reasons, either to be fed or just to see what happened next. And so Jesus Christ turns to this multitude who was there to be blessed physically, let's say. He says, "Those of you who are following me, let me lay this thing out for you." Verse 26, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples." As these multitudes thronged him, he turned to them and says, "Wait a minute, before you take another step, count the cost of being my disciple. You're all here, most of you, for the wrong reason." And he says, "Let me tell you, if you're going to be my disciple, you must love me more than mama and daddy. You must love me more than your own children. You must love me more than anything in life. You must love me even more than life itself if you want to be my disciple." He didn't come to bring an easy road, did he? Come to bring a difficult way. He goes on to say in verse 27, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Got to bear our cross, don't we? That's what Christianity is about. Saying no to the flesh, crucifying the flesh, listening to the Word of God, following and yielding to the Spirit of God. We must, if we want to be true disciples. From verse 28 to about verse 32, he deals with those who would begin to follow him and quit. Been a lot of those, hadn't there? We all know a whole bunch, don't we? Walked the church aisle, made a profession of faith, started the journey, but somewhere along the way, dropped out. Somewhere along the way, they quit. And the Lord knew that that would happen. He knew it would happen in this bunch. He says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, rather he have sufficient to finish it?" You want to be my disciple? Count the cost. Understand it's not going to be easy. Understand you have to take up your cross. Count the cost. "Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." A lot of Christians have done that. Start on the journey, and when the going gets rough, they quit on the Lord. Start on the journey, and when the going gets rough, trouble raises its ugly head, they quit church. They quit serving the Lord. They didn't count the cost, did they? They didn't look at what Christianity was really all about. And they caused themselves to be mocked, and to an extent they caused the name of Christ to suffer. Then he talks about a king in verse 31. "Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace." Here's a king who says, "I'll go, I'll fight, I'll win." Gets halfway into the thing, realizes he doesn't have a chance to win, and then he wants to retreat, wants to make for peace. A lot of Christians do that. Make professions, get out there in the thick of things, realize how hard it can be to be a Christian. And they want to throw up the white flag. This isn't for me. It's not easy being a Christian. We've got to get that into our heads. Not anybody can do it.
I believe only those that are called by God's grace are going to finish the race.
Because only those that have God's grace and God's Spirit are going to be able to stick it out. But Christ didn't come to bring peace.
He says in verse 33, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Cannot be. Following Christ means we must be willing to do just that. No matter what the cost, no matter what the difficulty, no matter how tall the mountain, how wide the river, we must be willing to put Christ first in our life, as Matthew 6:33 says. We must seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and let the other things fall into place. And it's not easy. It's not easy for parents to say no to their children when all of their friends' parents are saying yes. It's not easy to have standards in this day and age in which we live when most people don't have any standards. It's difficult to be a Christian. Maybe more difficult than any other time in history. But folks, this should not alarm us. Christ didn't come to give an easy road. We ought to see these things as having been laid out in Scripture. And we must be willing, now that we've started the journey, to go all the way with the Lord. Not to quit. Not to fall back. Not to go on the sidelines and take a breather, but to stay in the thick of things and fight for the one who did so much for us. Look over the book of Joshua 24. We all need the attitude of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Verse 15. Joshua 24, verse 15. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." Here's a good Christian attitude. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As for me and my house, we're not going to turn back. As for me and my house, we're not going to quit. As for me and my house, we're not going to jump ship. As for me and my house, it doesn't matter how rough the going gets, we're going to stick with our Lord. And we're going to see this thing through. And we're going to go all the way with our Lord. See, Joshua knew it wasn't going to be easy, but he knew no matter what he faced, God's grace was sufficient. And God's grace is still sufficient today. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 tells us, "All that will live godly shall suffer." Not might, it says they shall. Sometimes we don't suffer because we're not living godly. Bible says if you live a godly, sold-out life, sooner or later, you're going to suffer. Sooner or later, you're going to come to a crossroads where one way is easy and compromised and the other way is difficult, following the Lord. You've got to have this mentality. Following Christ could and most likely will cost us dearly. In fact, our closest loved ones may not respond to the Lord, might not know the Lord. Now, what side does that put them on? Puts them on the other side, doesn't it? It's difficult to be a Christian if your husband's lost. We've got several in our church in that situation. It's difficult to be a Christian if your wife's lost.
Difficult to be a Christian if mom and dad are lost. Difficult to be a Christian if your children are lost. Difficult to be a Christian if you're the only one in your family that knows the Lord. It's difficult to be a Christian if you're the only one who knows the truth. And all of your other family members and loved ones are hopelessly lost in false teachings and ways. But Jesus Christ says that's a possibility. He tells them here in our text, in one house He will turn three against two and two against three. But folks, no matter how great the price, Christ is worth it. Christ is worth it. We can't look at the circumstances around us and then all of a sudden decide, well, I think I'm going to quit. We've come too far. Turn back now. Come too far to throw up the white flag and decide we want to make peace. We need to go all the way with the Lord. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. Verse 30. Christ says, He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now we're on the Lord's side. It might be our family members, our dearest loved ones, who are the enemies of Jesus Christ. That doesn't change the blood relationship. Doesn't change our physical love for them. When Christ told us to hate father, mother, sister, and brother, He wasn't talking with the type of hate that we comprehend. He was talking about the type of love for Him where every other relation comes second. He has priority. He that is not with me is against me. That might be talking about our dearest loved ones. It's hard then, isn't it? But see, Christ didn't come to bring peace. One day He'll accomplish it, but not in this life. We're in a battle. Paul told Timothy that he was in a battle. He was an enlisted soldier for Jesus Christ. And we're in a battle tonight. Many in the religious circles of our day are preaching a flower-strewn pathway, easy life, milk and honey every day. Oh, believe in Jesus Christ, all your problems are going to be solved. That's not biblical. Those of us who have been enlisted in the Lord's army have not been enlisted for peacetime. We've been enlisted for wartime. And we're all soldiers. And we must understand this concept. Christ didn't come to bring peace. And following Him will cost us. Might even cost us our own families. Might even cost us our children. Our dearest loved ones. But you know, the good news is, in Christ, you enter a brand new family. In Christ, you gain a brand new identity. In Christ, you gain a security that will take you out of this old troubled earth and will take you into real peace. And no matter how bad it gets here, we have the hope and we have the promise of a better day in Jesus Christ. So that's really what it's all about. A lost person has troubles and trials, then they die and they've really got troubles. A Christian has troubles and trials, but they deal with those troubles and trials through the grace and Spirit of the Lord. But when our troubles and trials come to an end, we have an eternity with Jesus Christ. So this is not a message of negativity. This is a message of great hope. Following Christ might cost us dearly, but the retirement plan is out of this world. Lost friend, if you're here tonight,
Do you have a trouble-free life?
No. Christians don't either. Difference is, though, our troubles have a purpose. And our troubles have the grace and the Spirit of God to help us. And one day it's all going to end for the Christian. And the Lord's going to say, sit down and rest. But not so for you, lost friend.
Many times lost people throw up the argument, well, you Christians, you don't get to do this and you don't get to do that. Being a Christian, you've got to give up so much.
Think about it. We don't really give up anything compared to what we gain.
The suffering of this life is not worthy to be compared with the glory that awaits God's people.
Lost friend, you need Jesus Christ. You accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm not promising you a flower-strewn pathway. I'm promising you continued difficulties and trials. But the Word of God promises God's grace and Spirit that you won't have if you continue in your sins. And for us as Christians, it's all going to end one day and glory is going to begin. Look at the book of Luke chapter 8. Luke 8. Verse number 19. It says, then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. That's us. We're the brethren of Jesus Christ. We were saved. We became the children of God. We got a brand new family identity, don't we? See, when Christ came there and he taught there in the book of Luke, he says, following me might cost you dearly. Following me might cost you family. Following me might cost you dearly. Relationship with the dearest folks to you. But following me will also bring you a new family identity. Following me will also bring you eternal blessings. It's not be easy being a Christian. But His grace is sufficient. And one day we'll be able to say it's worth it all. It's worth it all. John chapter 1, verse number 12. It says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Not easy being a Christian, but would you want to go back and be a child of the devil again? It's not easy being a Christian. But I tell you what, we're on the winning side. The victory's already ours. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Look over the book of Galatians, the 4th chapter, verse 4. Galatians 4. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What a standing is ours. God didn't come to, or Christ didn't come to give us an easy way. But no matter what it costs us, it's worth it all. A song, I think it was sung a couple nights ago, I'm a child of the King. Isn't that a glorious thought?
No matter what we go through, no matter what we suffer, no matter how difficult the road we have to travel, it's glorious to know that we are a child of the King, and one day our troubles are going to end, and we're going to step on the shores of eternity. It'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. Look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. It's hard to find Mark chapter 10 when you're in the book of Matthew. Mark 10, verse 29. Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." It's not easy being a Christian, but it's the best life because you're a child of God, you're a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what you're faced with, the grace and the Spirit of God is going to help you get over it, get through it, get around it. Some way or another, you'll conquer it. Because we are conquerors in Jesus Christ. And then for us as Christians, there'll come a day when we really retire. And we stand in the presence of our Lord forever. If you're here and you're saved, and boy, life is rough. And you know, some Christians have a rough way. Don't be discouraged. Don't be defeated. Don't give up. Understand that as Christ suffered, sometimes we're called on to suffer. Just trust the Lord. Lean upon Him. When life doesn't make any sense at all and you feel like it's all just crushing in, trust the Lord and know that He told you these things would happen. Just trust the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord. Don't sit there and say, "Brother Titus, you don't know what I'm going through." You're right, but God knows what you're going through. Don't be discouraged because it looks like life has caved in on you. His grace is sufficient. Be encouraged. So one of these days, the troubles come to an end. And we'll stand in the presence of the Lord. If we go through life with rose-colored glasses on, thinking that when the Lord saved us, He promised us an easy life, we're going to be miserable. He never promised that. But He did promise for every heartache, every challenge, every pain, that He would be there to help us and to reward us. Isn't that amazing? When you contemplate His suffering, anything He called us to suffer would be only reasonable. But He says, "I suffered on the cross for you. You'll have to suffer for me occasionally." But He doesn't stop there. He says, "That's not equal." He goes, "When you do suffer for me, I'll reward you for it." So we need to lift up our hands, lift up our heads, lift up our knees, be encouraged. If you're here tonight and you're lost, Christianity is not an easy life. Don't you swallow anything hook, line, and sinker that promises you rose-strewn pathways. Being a Christian costs. But God's grace is sufficient. And God rewards you for that cost. If you're here and you're lost, don't focus in on the negatives and don't focus in on what you can't do and what you have to give up to be a Christian. Look at how wonderful it is to be able to go through life and face problems with God on your side. His grace and His Spirit to aid you. And think that as a Christian, when life's troubles end, it's just beginning. Live your life without the Lord, and when all the troubles of this life end, then you face hell. What's in that?
the device of Christ.
He didn't come to bring peace in this life, but one day He'll bring peace.
God help us to be encouraged. Following Christ brings pain. It brings death to an old way of life. It causes divisions between the believer and the world. But it'll be worth it all one day. God help us to stay in the fight.